This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHD, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, as we continue along in our fourth and final hour before the big Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon tomorrow morning, where I will be on the air with you from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today, 855-839-1210. And, of course, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So, a couple things I wanted to mention. You know, I always love when Count Grandstangelus, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band make an appearance. I am Spartacus. This guy is such a... I mean, Cory Booker has been probably one of the most disappointing political people I've ever encountered in my entire life. Here's what I mean by that. When this guy ran for mayor of Newark back in the early aughts, he had support from Republicans, conservatives, because he ran in a very pro-school choice, clean up the streets, tough on crime campaign. Then he decided he wanted to run for national office. And because the Democrat Party's freaking crazy, he went crazy too. So he got all woke. He got all woke, and he's all in on everything that they want him to be. Dropped school choice completely. No longer about charter schools. Did a complete 180 on that. Why? Because the Democrats love the teachers unions. Teachers unions control the Democrat Party, and they want their money. So a guy who at one point literally made it his point to fight for school choice and to create new charter schools in the city of Newark, New Jersey, became an ardent opponent of them in order to placate the teachers union. And it's sad. It's pathetic. It really is. And of course, he's also wacky on everything else. Like when Juicy Smollett, as Dave Chappelle calls Jesse Smollett, had his fake hate crime hoax, Cory Booker went all in on this is why we need a national lynching law. And he stood up and down screaming about the need for a national law against lynching, as if you can lynch someone today in any state in the union. I mean, of the 50 states, or the 57, as Barack Obama once said, you cannot lynch another human being. It's illegal. No state condones this. No state thinks it's okay. No state goes, oh, if you want to lynch somebody, you can't murder them. You can't kill them. But if you want to lynch them, yeah, no, knock yourself out. That's totally fine. Can't do it in the Wild West because it's not wild anymore. Can't do it in Montana like the Duttons did in 1923. Can't do it there. Can't do it in Alabama. Can't do it in New Orleans where they have the biggest mass lynching in American history of the Italians. Literally, if in any state in the country, if you lynch somebody, you will go to prison for either murder if you kill them or attempted murder if you try to. You may somehow survive. But Cory Booker thinks we need a federal law against lynching, and because it's an opportunity to pontificate and grandstand. That's all it is. It's an opportunity to do that. And that's what a guy like him does. And because now justice is not just about equality under the law. Justice has to always be about something, because there always has to be something that gets you to write another check or gets the left enraged on something. This time now, justice is environmental justice. Take a listen.
This bill is about a fundamental American ideal. This bill is about justice for all. You cannot have justice for all without environmental justice. We live in a nation that justice is having access to clean water. Justice is having access to clean air. Justice is having soil in your community that does not poison your children or threaten the lives of the elderly.
I ask an honest question. Where are we forcing people to drink dirty water in this country? Where is this happening? I understand there are old pipes that need to be upgraded, lead pipes. I understand that. But where are people drinking dirty water is my question, where they don't have environmental aspects. Like the city of Newark, for example, when he was mayor, city of Newark, the gigantic municipal utilities authority for the city of Newark, which don't even get me started on what a little political game that is, who gets the contracts and who's the insurance broker for the municipal utilities authority, who's the law firm, who's the engineer, it's a cash cow. Why didn't they upgrade all that stuff when he was there is my question. Where do we force people to breathe bad air in this country? They argue that, well, certain people live by brownfields and other urban areas because blah, 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 blah. What we have the Environmental Protection Agency, the Clean Air Act, constantly suing these places, and these places turn around and go, we have the highest standards that we can possibly have to make sure that whatever comes out of the pipes there is as clean as possible. But it's another chance to scream and yell and make up a boogeyman that they can then charge that this is racist. And that's what they do all the time. All the time. Keep going.
This is about the fundamental idea of justice in America. And we know we don't have it because there are too many communities in which bad actors, corporate operators, are putting profits before people. They're putting their bottom line before the moral line. They are seeing a lot of activity, a lot of accounting, but there is no accountability.
Boy, all that sounds great. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's nothing specific about what he said. Just charges, just throwing it out there. Bad soil, bad air, bad water, and apparently this is a thing in America, and it's all racist. And nobody's addressing any of this stuff. So we got to spend more money on climate change, because let's face it, that's what this is really about, right? Climate change. Climate change is justice, environmental justice. Now, luckily, the good news is the end of the world has been postponed, at least for now. The end of the world has been postponed, at least as of this moment right now, because thank God Greta Thunberg is getting a medal. So she's getting a medal for doing nothing other than going on social media and warning everybody that, how dare you? How dare you? Remember all that whole thing? How dare you? And Greta Thunberg, like all these other people that are all in on this nonsense, get a lot of attention, like Cory Booker, for saying absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing that they say that makes anything actually relevant. But climate change apocalypse has actually been postponed long enough for Greta Thunberg to earn her honorary theology doctorate. If you've ever questioned whether or not climate change is a religion, like I've always been saying it is, well, this is the best thing you need to know. Because the 20-year-old climate change extreme weather activist is receiving a prestigious award thanks to the faculty in Helsinki's theology department, an honorary doctorate from the University of Helsinki in theology. Now, how can you get a theology degree if you're not studying religion? Well, the answer is easy. Climate change is religion. It is a religion to them. And now Greta Thunberg is the high priestess of their wackiness and their wacky environmental extremist. This is great too. I love how when you think about the left and you think about how they revere people and how the media, the corporate media, just goes all in on just like the, I remember this. Remember this? Here, take a listen to this. This is great here. This is Greta Thunberg staring down Donald Trump. And that was a CBS News tweet. Watch. Teen climate activist Greta Thunberg stares down President Trump as he arrived at the United Nations on Monday. It's CBS News. I love it. I love it. Why not? Go all in. You know what I mean? Go all in with your lunacy. I think it's fantastic. So now she is a professor And you remember the time she faked being arrested, right, in a protest? Remember that? The time that she actually went out there and they put fake handcuffs on her like AOC? You remember that, right? She was laughing, surrounded by the cops, taking pictures, standing there next to the police, faking being arrested. And, of course, the cops all went in on it with her because over there in Europe, they're all nuts. You know what I mean? So that's where we are. She danced with protesters during a demonstration in support of indigenous rights in Oslo, Norway. And now she's the high priestess of climate change. So please call her Dr. Thunberg from now on, which has about as much weight as calling Jill Biden Dr. Biden. But I'm sure it is absolutely required by law for you to actually come out and say those things. Oh, man, I tell you what, I love it. Now, this is the thing about all this stuff, too, of course, whenever we talk about this. We have whales and dolphins dying in New Jersey right now. 8 dolphins beached themselves in New Jersey, and they've all been euthanized. Where's Greta Thunberg on that, out of curiosity? Has anyone heard Dr. Thunberg, the high priestess of climate change? Has anybody heard her come out and talk about the whales that are dying? The right whales, which are at risk of being endangered? I mean, being extinct. Excuse me, extinct. The 14 dead humpback whales that we know of because of the wind turbine project. Where is the high priestess coming to the beach in New Jersey to lead everyone in prayer? Now that she has her doctorate in theology from Helsinki, why doesn't she come and do a mass prayer to pray for the whales and the dolphins? Right. Because these people are frauds. They don't give a damn about the environment. They don't care. This is not about the environment. This is not about saving the lives of precious dolphins and whales. This is about their commitment to all things that are quote-unquote renewable. So unless it's a solar panel, she'll pray for that. She'll pray for wind turbines. Oh, you know she will. But do not ask Greta Thunberg to pray for the whales and the dolphins. Remember, dead whales don't vote. Dead Democrats vote. Dead dolphins don't vote. Dead Democrats do. Dead whales don't write political checks. Dead Democrats do. Now, remember how the Biden administration came out and pretended like it was a vast right-wing conspiracy to suggest they wanted to ban your gas stove? Do you remember that? Do you remember when King Philip the Unaccountable came out and said, "Hey, New Jersey, we're not going to take away your gas stove, New Jersey. I promise you, New Jersey."
Allow me, if I may, to make one thing perfectly clear at the outset before the meme makers go off on me. No one is coming for anyone's gas stove. No one is walking into anyone's kitchen. And importantly, no one is going to be forced to do anything in any way. I know there will be the...
I apologize. I excuse me. My mistake here. But please, Governor, Your Highness, I apologize. Let me... Peasants, gather around. Step over the dead mammal carcasses of dolphins and whales. You heathens, don't eat them. And His Royal Highness will allow you to keep your gas stove, just not buy a new one. That's pretty good. Let's try that again. Here we go. Ready? Peasants, gather around. Let your children touch the dead whale. Yes, put your filthy face in its dead blowhole. And remember, the governor doesn't care about dead whales and dolphins, nor does he care about you. I think we're getting somewhere with this, right? Let's do one more for good measure. There we go. Peasants, gather around. See the beautiful dolphins as the governor puts them to death, because he does not care about them or you or the view from your beaches, because he is, in fact, a masshole. Well, I mean, he is from Massachusetts. All right, so now that we've given the proper, you know, you always got the crier. Your governor can't just speak, the king, without the formal announcement by the town crier. So my deepest apologies to you. Here we go.
Those opposed to our efforts who will spread misinformation, and it does follow a particular pattern that those against things like reproductive rights, the right to read what you want, the right...
Hang on. Peasants! His Royal Highness King Philip the Unaccountable does not care about the reproductive rights of whales and dolphins who are dying and being washed ashore. However, he does care about... I don't even know where I'm going with that. Sorry, I don't even... Anyway.
to live safe from gun violence, the right to marry who you choose, and the right of workers to organize, those folks would be, not surprisingly, against the rights of consumers to make decisions for themselves.
Except that this jackass is actually taking away your ability to buy a gas-powered car in the state of New Jersey in 2035. But I digress. The point is that where is the high priestess Greta Thunberg coming out to pray for the dead whale? She should have a funeral on the beach. Yes, Dr. Thunberg should have a funeral on the beach and pray for the whales and the dolphins. And she could let them rest in peace now that they're being killed by the wind turbine exploration that's happening. Why not? It'll make everybody happy if the high priestess joined his royal jackass King Philip the Unaccountable. Well, I can't say idiot anymore, and I'm not supposed to say stupid, so I gotta call the guy something. Let's be honest. Come on. I gotta say something about the guy. Listen, my buddy Dr. Mike Veneri is a great guy, great friend of the show, and he is the master of dental implants. I actually texted him last night because my wife bit through her mouth guard, her night guard, and I texted Dr. Mike. I said, have you ever heard this happen before? And he wrote me back. He said, well, it rarely happens. But anyway, I'm in the office today, these hours. I'm in the office tomorrow, these hours. Have Bridget call the office. I'll get her in, get her some new impressions, get her new mouth guard. That's just the way he is with everybody. So I texted him one day. My buddy Rob had chipped a tooth or something. I said, he needs you. He goes, no problem. Call the office. I'll get him in today. I'll get him in tomorrow, whatever works for him. That's the kind of guy Dr. Mike is. He is so dedicated to his patients, so dedicated to giving outstanding service to our community. That's why every year he does a big breakfast to honor all our veterans. It's why he always loves to be around law enforcement and our first responders. And there is no one better, and I mean this, there is no one better than Dr. Mike Veneria when it comes to dental implants. It's true. He is the master of dental implants. And he's been voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. 2 offices to serve you right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. He's my buddy. He's my friend. The whole Zioli family goes to see him. And the best choice for you for dental implants. 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Yes, misinformation rears its ugly head everywhere we look. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you with us, of course. Tomorrow, our big Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. I have to set my alarm and actually get up at 4:30 in the morning again, like old times. I may just pull an all-nighter and then just ride it out with you on the air tomorrow, 6 a.m., starting the day, me, Kale, Stocker, Stenslin. It's going to be outrageous. And then me and Dawn, side by side, together again. I got you, babe. And then me, then hanging out with Dom Giordano during his show, answering the phones a little bit, taking your calls for money. And then my show with Greg Stocker by my side, Dawn Stenslin by my side, like the old days. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in tomorrow. Great cause, the Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. And yes, a chance for you to get your hands on a freshly made and specially made Zioli Army shirt. So I'm excited for a great day. And also to have dinner with me and go to D.C. with me as well. Oh, yeah, baby. And maybe we'll play with a little Fuhr and cleavage while we're there together. Well, I'm sorry, what? I meant we'll go to the NIH, National Institutes of Health, and try to demand answers on when they played with the Fuhr and cleavage and made a virus in the lab. Anyway, want to hear disinformation in action? My buddy, and I'm going to get into conspiracy theories in just a moment, too. There was a big conspiracy conference held at the University of Miami, and Reason.com had a great breakdown of this, the difference between psychologists and philosophers and their willingness to entertain competing ideas about things. You know, things you've always been told by the experts, like COVID came from a undercooked bat burger, masks worked, the vaccines stop transmission, you know, all those things, for example. Climate change is killing us. Anything the experts tell you. Whales and dolphins aren't dying because of the wind turbine projects. Here's a little montage put together by our friends over at Grabian. Observe disinformation in action.
Tool that's called Hamilton 68. They're now reporting that Twitter accounts linked to Russian influence operations, well, they've been upping the frequency with which they're promoting this hashtag, release the memos.
There's a dashboard, Hamilton 68, named after the Federalist paper, Alexander Hamilton's Federalist paper, which focused on election meddling and protecting the process, which focuses on Twitter feeds and has determined that Russia was indeed, or sites alleged to be connected with Russia, were interfering in the Alabama election.
Russian-linked Twitter accounts tried using the tragedy to stoke the nation's political divides. Kremlin-linked accounts flooded Twitter, using hashtags like Parkland and Gun Control Now to get into trending conversations. According to data collected by the nonpartisan dashboard Hamilton 68.
Now, the bad news is the Russians are continuing to attack our democracy.
But they are every day playing on social media. There's a website called Hamilton 68 that measures some of it on Twitter, and they're trying to divide Americans on race, on guns. A website called Hamilton 68 has been tracking this behavior for months, and they do kind of tend to tweet about various controversial issues, including NFL protests.
That Russia was
now, as these journalists go all in on this Hamilton 68, I want you to think about something for a moment. Is any of this true? All these people at MSNBC and all these other places who are going on and on about Hamilton 68. Well, now we know the truth about Hamilton 68. The media fell head over heels, as the Federalist writes, over a shoddy propaganda operation spearheaded by an ex-FBI agent. Twitter, internally, understood the operation to be a partisan hack, but never spoke out. Organizations full of influential ex-government officials promoted the operation. And it's only thanks to Matt Taibbi's most recent contribution to the Twitter files that we know the full extent of institutional corruption in the mind-boggling case of Hamilton 68. We know what American intelligence operatives can do, how they have a history of using credulous reporters to spread disinformation for political purposes. When President Nixon's team forged cables about John F. Kennedy, tried to get them in Life magazine, or the fate of Jean Seberg and her baby, thanks in part to COINTELPRO and the Los Angeles Times. We've learned more and more about this in the years since the Cold War, when elite media outlets eagerly swallowed tactical disinformation when it confirms their priors. Think of the New York Times story on Ray Epps, the guy who was there telling people to go into the Capitol, and they made him a sympathetic figure who was being maligned by MAGA as an undercover FBI operative. And I talked earlier about that in the show, if you missed it. The disinformation police in government and media shape American politics with actual disinformation, crafted specifically to quiet dissent. And what we know about this Hamilton 68 is that it supposedly was a dashboard that tracked Russian disinformation on Twitter. But the secret ingredient in Hamilton 68's analytic method was a list of 644 accounts supposedly linked to Russian influence activities online. It was hidden from the public. But Twitter was in a unique position to recreate Hamilton's sample by analyzing its application program interface requests, which is how they first reverse engineered Hamilton's list in late 2017. In the words of former executive Yoel Rauf, the Hamilton 68 project was pure and utter BS. But let's continue with the media gushing and spreading disinformation on their behalf.
Was actively still working to meddle with our democracy. We've seen what the bots have been doing, according to the Hamilton Project. You were working on writing on that yesterday.
And it tracks around 600 Russia-linked accounts. And it doesn't provide the names of those accounts, because if it did, the Russians could simply change them.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
There's a Russian troll farm. There's a group in the United States that tracks what they do. And you know what their leading hashtag is this week out of the Russian troll farm?
This is a U.S. Senator.
Release the memo.
Oh, yes.
U.S.
Yes,
Senator.
Yes, we have heard that. And so when the State Department says, well, it's already working, you know, we don't need additional sanctions. It's already working. They've gotten the message.
All they've got to do is go to Hamilton 68 and see that they're trolling us right today.
There is actual fake news. It's weaponized
it's fiction,
by
right?
Russia. Right.
It's
I mean, you
fiction.
Had this where they're created. I mean, fake stories out of the blue used to influence people in their thoughts and create division, that kind of thing.
CNN.
That's the real fake news.
Yeah. Over the weekend, Hamilton 68, a project that tracks Russian bots.
This is John Avalon. Remember, John Avalon is considered to be the sober-minded adult in the room. Why can't more Republican speakers and hosts be more like John Avalon? I've heard that for a long time. He's so reasonable and sensible. Here he goes, all in on Hamilton 68 and the disinformation.
Found a dramatic increase in Russian bots using the hashtags surrounding that debate, trying to elevate the debate on Ingram's side overwhelmingly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That itself is fascinating if folks want to see the extent to which these tweets are being weaponized.
And the Russian bots seize on these things. Whenever they sense
division
in the country, they seize on it and gin it up.
One of the dashboards we use, the Hamilton 68, seven of the top 10 stories that were being pushed in terms of disinformation said that the United Kingdom had staged this chemical attack is a provocation essentially to justify these actions.
And, even in the United States, there were some useful idiots that were actually doing Russia's bidding.
See that? Exactly what I mean. So, are you a conspiracy theorist? Well, they say you are. But what do they say at the conspiracy theory conference? I'll tell you about that straight ahead.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. You know, as we talk about misinformation and disinformation all the time, would you like to observe it in action, you crazy conspiracy kooks, you? Would you like to observe it in action? I'll tell you, the thing about all this is, and this is something that I continue to think about all the time, you have been called a conspiracy theorist how many times over and over again for just simply challenging the information that the experts have given you. They've insulted you. They've mocked you. They've done this over and over and over again. And it really bothers me so much because you and I both know that too often They tell us things purposely because there is a reason to tell us things purposely, and that is money. Money, money, money. It makes the world go round. And remember the Zeoli axiom, too, which is that, yes, money is always the root cause of all of this. The second International Conspiracy Theory Symposium is happening, where one of the most cited findings in the field has been debunked. If you believe that Princess Diana was assassinated, you almost certainly do not also believe that she's secretly still alive. That may sound obvious, as my friend Jesse Walker at Reason writes, but there are parts of the academy where it flies in the face of conventional wisdom. In 2012, a much-cited paper in the journal Social, Psychological, and Personality Science seemed to show that people willing to reject the official story of Princess Diana's death, that she had been killed in a car accident, weren't very choosy about which alternative they embraced. More participants believe that Princess Diana faked her own death, the more they believe that she was murdered. When the authors asked for opinions about the contradictory rumors surrounding the demise of Osama bin Laden, they also got comparable results. So strong was the correlation, they concluded, that it seemed fair to say that any conspiracy theory that stands in opposition to the official narrative will gain some degree of endorsement from someone who holds a conspiratorist view. Even if it directly contradicts another conspiracy theory, they also find credible. Or as they put it more pithily in the letter, believing that Osama bin Laden is still alive is apparently no obstacle to believing that he's been dead for years. So the press couldn't resist the idea of a kook so divorced from common sense that he thinks someone could be dead and alive. The study became a staple of pop science pieces on conspiracy theories and of pop intellectual writing by figures such as Cass Sunstein. And when other experimenters followed up on the paper, they replicated its results. Journalists loved it, declared Jean Willem van Pruijen, a psychologist from VU Amsterdam, as he addressed the International Conspiracy Theory Symposium at the University of Miami this past weekend. It's a cool finding, he said. There's just one problem. It's not true. He's actually the first scholar, he's not the first scholar to challenge the idea. Last year, for example, the philosopher Curtis Hagen noted, the original study did not measure people's beliefs so much as the degree of credence they give to different possibilities. Rather than simply endorsing or rejecting each theory, participants were asked to rate each story's plausibility on a 7-point scale. An approach that gave room to entertain the ideas as suspicious without embracing them as full-fledged beliefs. But Van Pruijen was discussing a more fundamental problem. The whole phenomenon, he told the Miami audience, could just be a statistical artifact. For example, most people don't believe that Diana was assassinated or that she faked her death. If you're just looking at the overall numbers, that huge correlation between the participants who disbelieve both stories could create the illusion of a correlation where participants believe both. So the philosopher and four colleagues ran their own series of experiments, this time paying closer attention to who was endorsing and rejecting each yarn. The results, which will soon appear in the journal Psychological Science, show that people who endorsed one conspiracy theory were generally less likely, not more likely, to endorse an apparently contradictory narrative. Now, there were a few exceptions, but these involved questions where, on closer examination, the theories weren't necessarily contradictory at all. For example, after the first experiment showed people maintaining that pharmaceutical companies were both obstructing research to find a cancer cure and withholding a cure they already possessed, the authors realized that these could be reconciled if you believe Big Pharma is hiding a cure for one type of cancer and blocking research on another. Whatever else you might think of that belief system, it's not as irrational as the original Princess Diana scenario. In fact, the team doesn't deny that some people hold contradictory views on Osama bin Laden or Diana's deaths, but, I mean, there's all kinds of different people out there, but such people like that are not typical, even of people who are conspiracy-minded people, conspiracists, as they're called. If they once seem more common than they really are, that makes the philosopher and his colleagues wonder what else their field might have gotten wrong. For instance, they ask people this question. To what extent is the correlation between conspiracy beliefs that are not mutually incompatible, often seen as reflecting a conspiratorial mindset, actually due to those who disbelieve both conspiracy theories. So a psychologist and a political scientist at the University of Delaware commented on the paper. After endorsing the findings, she looked back at a study she had done recently on COVID theories, underlining some other ways that results may seem contradictory, but might not actually reflect confused thinking at all. This professor, named Joanne Miller, a psychologist and a political science professor at the University of Delaware, well, she ran her survey in the early days of the pandemic when no one really had a good grasp on what was going on. All sorts of possibilities were being seriously considered. And her study had been set up in a way that prevented people from going back and changing their answers when they saw the next question. So she wasn't surprised then when people agreed with one theory about the pandemic's origins and then expressed agreement with a mutually exclusive theory. At a time of intense uncertainty, she said, such answers may be more rational than they look. Are they really telling us that they believe these things, she asked, or are they telling us that they need to believe something? Now, this University of Miami conference on conspiracism, which is held and primarily organized by a man called Joseph Usinski, a political scientist at the University of Miami, who produced several books on the topic. It brought together 40 scholars from all kinds of different disciplines, from political science, psychology, history, philosophy, sociology, religious studies, and more. So the gathering a few years ago had been very combative. But on this new conference in 2023, one young psychologist was asked if he had heard tales from his colleagues of the 8-year-old clashes with professors from other fields. He said, oh, you mean the philosophers? The biggest battles a few years ago had indeed pitted the philosophers against the psychologists. Philosophers kept accusing the psychologists of treating ideas as signs of some underlying pathology. The psychologists, in turn, sometimes gripe between panels that the Philosopher's Guild was better at poking holes in arguments than in devising a scientifically sound research plan. Well, think about that, right? In your own life, too, when you challenge things, it's more about, this is how I view it anyway, it's more about the fact that you're open to other ideas than just simply what you're told. Psychologists, many of them at the conference years ago, said you were crazy. They looked at you as having something wrong, that the fact that you will embrace all these ideas. You might, for example, think to yourself, well, I probably believe the moon landing was real. But then again, it's entirely possible that the one that we saw on TV was done at a Hollywood studio, directed by Francis Ford Coppola or Stanley Kubrick, and that years later, or when they actually went to the moon, the next time around, there were just no cameras there. And you could sit around and you could philosophize about that and go, well, how could they pull that off? And then the flag not waving and everything like that. A psychologist would turn around and think you were nuts. A philosopher would turn around and go, yeah, but I mean, isn't it possible that a government would have reasons in the midst of the Cold War and the race to the moon to project that we got there first, even if we didn't, for the good of national security, the world order, etc.? I mean, I could see that conversation around a campfire. There was a time when if you embraced ideas that were out there, you were called a crazy person. I think COVID's changed a lot of that thinking, but I'll get back to that in just a second. Kennedy assassination is another one, too. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with the Kennedy assassination. I read every book I could get my hands on. Now, it's pretty much a, I would say, conventional opinion at this point that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. However, if I'm sitting around the campfire with you and I'm having a beer and a cigar or a glass of wine and a cigar, which is actually what I really do, I'm going to question why the Central Intelligence Agency still does not want all the files released to the public and how every president that gets in there vows to declassify everything about the Kennedy assassination, but walks it back. Area 51 is another great example. I mean, it's been kind of a conventional belief that if you think aliens landed in Roswell, well, you're freaking nuts. And it's just a military research facility, and that's all it is. And you just can't go near there because there's all kinds of different things. However, now we know that there are all these unidentified flying objects in the sky. It's now something Congress is actually dealing with. It's something that senators and congresspeople come out and say, yeah, there's stuff we can't explain here. The point is that the two groups, philosophers versus psychologists, would battle over this, and the philosophers would stick up for the conspiracy theorists. the psychologist would basically put them down. That something was wrong with them. But now we had COVID, right? We went through this too, and we were told by the experts that, for example, COVID came from a lab, I mean from the wet market, an undercooked bat burger, and that's all there was to it. And then if you had any questions about that or you entertained the idea could have come from a lab, you were shot down immediately as being called a conspiracy kook, right? If, for example, you came out and you said pharmaceutical companies actually would try to create viruses and try to create the treatments for those viruses, you were called a conspiracy theorist. Then you get the Project Veritas video of that guy who works for Pfizer saying literally that exact same thing. Everything that you said at one point. You come out and you say, well, you know, actually there's a reason to believe that the FDA would cover for big pharma in our country because a lot of those people want to get jobs, and you're called a nut, and then you watch the Hulu documentary Dope Sick where you see that's exactly happening, and that people from the FDA were turning a blind eye to the mistakes that Purdue Pharma was making, or the intentional lies, I should say, that Purdue Pharma was saying about the addictiveness of OxyContin back then. The point is that if we've learned anything over the last several years, whether it's the FBI and social media colluding to silence people, where the FBI is paying social media millions of dollars a year to do its bidding, or that a deep state exists where the forces of government collude with social media and big tech to control the narrative of things and also to go after their political enemies, there was a time when if you said that, you would have been called a kook. You know, the idea that our government would weaponize its own law enforcement system, its federal law enforcement, its national security operation, for the purposes of going after political people, to try to stop somebody from getting elected president, for example, or to destroy that presidency when that person's in there, maybe because they don't want another war. And you're called a kook. But all you got to do is go back and play President Dwight Eisenhower's farewell address when he warns about the military-industrial complex. If you have questions about the CIA, for example, and you think about the terrible things the CIA may have done, again, you're called a conspiracy kook. However, if you remember what President Harry Truman said about the CIA, they really should just stick to foreign intelligence because there's too much risk here that the CIA can do some pretty bad things, even against our own people. If a few years ago you would have suggested that the Federal Bureau of Investigation would be involved in really operations that scream of intense, intense political intrusion, you again would have been called a conspiracy theorist. But if you go back to the 1970s when Senator Frank Church, after the Church Commission, warned, we have to really be careful about the ability of the FBI to go after our own people. And then you learn they spied on Dr. King, they spied on Aretha Franklin. They would put propaganda out there against these people. The CIA would put propaganda out there against these people. And suddenly now your kooky conspiracies don't seem so kooky anymore. There's also a lesson in this too. And the lesson is that I think philosophers, and I always think of the founding fathers of this country as the ultimate philosophers. I mean, if you read the Federalist Papers, which is one of my favorite books, they really are philosophizing about the nature of government, what it means to be free, the nature of liberty, the reasons why, when they outline the reason why you should have a proper trial, why you should be able to own a firearm, why you should be free from search and seizure from your government without due process, the importance of due process. I mean, they're citing philosophy that's written before by people like Locke, for example. They're questioning Hobbes. They're doing all these things, Rousseau and the social compact. They're questioning, debating, sometimes embracing, many times rejecting the philosophers that went before them. And they create this beautiful document known as the United States Constitution with really 10 amendments in there that protect you from your government. And I always say, if you look at it from that lens, it really makes a lot of sense. That we have the United States Constitution to protect us from our government, but why would we need that? It's because those founding fathers understood the government poses such a grave danger to us. But that's why they were called kooks. Listen, let me tell you about my friends at Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling. They are fantastic, and they do a great job. And you know what? They're actually hiring right now. Oh, yes, they are. Very, very cool. They are now hiring. Professor Gatsby's is looking for experienced service and installation technicians to bring into their fast-growing Gatsby's family. Professor Gatsby's focuses on quality, value, and treating their customers like part of the family, and I can personally attest to this because these are the guys I use in my home. Gatsby's highly trained technicians love what they do. If you don't love what you do, then you can't deliver the best service and value to your customer. Your heart must be all in on it. Gatsby's team focuses on continuing education so they can present customers with the best options in the industry. Now, Professor Gatsby's is one of the fastest growing HVAC companies in all of South Jersey and is looking to help their employees grow alongside. Gatsby's offers a sign-on bonus, healthcare, competitive hours, and pay, overtime opportunities, and much more. If you are an experienced HVAC technician and you're looking to grow your skill set, give Professor Gatsby's a call today. Just go to profgatsby.com, P-R-O-F-Gatsby.com, and trust me when I tell you, I use these guys in my home because they are trustworthy, they are honest, and they will do a great job for you. So join their team or use them in your home, profgatsby.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.